And good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned into Raven Radio, your community radio station where it's 35 degrees under sunny skies. And joining me in the studio, I have a couple of folks from the Sitka Sound Science Center's Scientist in Residency Program, Tori O'Connell, coordinator of the SURF program, and Dr. Michael Lanoux. He's a professor of anatomy and cell biology at Indiana University School of Medicine, and he's with the program. Welcome to Morning Edition, folks.
Good morning, Melissa.
Morning, Melissa. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. Well, Michael, a few things bring you to Sitka for the SURF program, and one of them is amphibians. Can you tell us what that is about?
Well, I've been active in amphibian conservation issues for a couple of decades now. And while I'm here on Baranoff Island, I'd like to look into boreal toads and why they used to be here, and then why they didn't used to be here, and why they seem to be staging a comeback.
So is this sort of the scouting mission for your project?
It is, yes.
What's that going to entail?
We're going to be working with various conservation biologists, school teachers in the area, and we're going to be looking for toads, and we're going to be seeing how they're doing. We're going to be finding out where they're abundant, where they may be coming back, and perhaps set up a little citizen science program next spring to swab toads for disease, and then we can run samples and see if some of our ideas about why they declined and why they're coming back are true or not.
What are some of the areas you're going to be scouting for toads?
That I don't exactly know, because in my two previous trips to Sitka, we didn't get much outside of Sitka. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing various spots, various places. And if I come back in a few weeks and we talk, I'll be able to tell you where we've gone.
Perfect. Well, you know, you study environmental health.
Yes.
And you find really strong and compelling links between, well, say, amphibian health and environmental health for humans. What are these connections that you're looking at?
There are a lot of connections. I think that we don't pay enough attention to prevention when it comes to human health. And I don't think that we pay enough attention to environmental issue. Sure, it's one thing when you're on a fishing boat and you get your hand smashed. I mean, you understand things like that. But I don't think we fully understand the things that we do to the environment in the name of commerce. And you have to understand, I come from the U.S. Midwest, where the habitat is either a cornfield or a bean field, and they alternate each year. Pesticides, water quality, these are all issues that are huge back home. Perhaps they're less compelling issues up here, but there is a clear link between aspects of human health, cancers, for example, and environmental health that I don't think is getting as much attention as it should get. Amphibians are good sentinels for environmental health, and so they serve as a proxy.
One of those sort of, you know, canary in the coal mines, those indicator species.
That's right.
Well, I could talk about amphibians with you forever, actually. But, you know, you mentioned that you have prior links to Sitka, which brings us to your next reason for being here. Tell us about your book and that focus.
In 2010, I wrote a book through the University of California Press called Leopold's Lab and Ricketts Shack. Leopold's Lab refers to Aldo Leopold, who coined his famous land ethic: a thing is right when it tends to preserve the stability, integrity, and beauty of the biotic community. It's wrong when it tends otherwise. So Leopold was giving us an ethic, a rule to live by. But Ed Ricketts, who had set up shop in Monterey, was giving us a form of engagement. There were no other scientists, ecologists, conservation biologists on the Monterey Peninsula at the time. And so Ed Ricketts' friends were writers, artists, Jack Calvin, John Steinbeck, John Cage, Joseph Campbell. And so what Ed Ricketts did was give us a method of engagement, the way scientists, a way for scientists to apply something like Leopold's land ethic to society at large. And I thought both men in combination sent a stronger signal than either man sent separately.
So. And you think that your perspective, as I understand it, is that Ed Ricketts' sort of groundbreaking attempts to reach into all these interdisciplinary pockets is really critical, especially important to remember now.
It's critical now because I don't think the public tends to believe scientists. Scientists have carved out a little spot for themselves in the ivory tower, and it seems like they think that, by and large, they're better than the common person, and the common person has responded largely by ignoring them. But scientists have some important things to say, and they need to figure out a way to communicate that with society.
And you're looking at, say, climate change, one of those areas where perhaps scientists need to work on how they're communicating and who they're communicating to. Who are they ignoring? Who are they paying attention to? And how are they, conveying their message?
Right. That's right. That's right.
Right. Well, yeah. you were studying Ed Ricketts, and by extension, then, his daughter, Nancy.
That's right. And so I published the book, and Nancy wrote me a letter, and we realized right away that we had to meet Nancy. And so two Christmases ago, my family and I came up, and we spent a week in Sitka, and we spent as much time as we could with Nancy. We realized that we needed to do more, that Nancy was there at a time and a place that most of the rest of us could only read about. And rather than trying to imagine what it was like to be in Ed Ricketts' lab in the 1930s, Nancy could tell us what it was like. And then we invited Nancy to tell the world. And so our second trip to Sitka was last May, when Ellen Frankenstein and Rebecca Poulsen and Katie Roger, the Ed Ricketts scholar, and I convened here, and we interviewed Nancy for 4 or 5 days, 2 or 3 hours each day on film. And so one of the things I'll be doing the month I'm here at the Sitka Sound Science Center is editing the transcripts from that film as a first cut towards editing the film.
I think, from my perspective, this kind of work is really important, particularly in helping Sitkans remember their history and how these huge names, Ricketts and Calvin, in our history are connected so closely to these other, groundbreaking, imagination-changing names in the wider, global and also national landscape. Our history is a part of broader history.
Right. Have you been down the street?
Down the street.
The Science Center got unwrapped over the last couple
it
days.
It got unwrapped. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. Can you tell us about that, Tori?
Yes. Well, we would like to have just had it be, unwrapped all at once, but mm-hmm. that's not how that goes. It takes about a week to unwrap, and we're getting our roofers there this week, and so the roof will be done. So we're having a ribbon cutting to celebrate the remodel of the end of Phase 1, which is basically the exterior of the building, on Alaska Day at 9 o'clock, and there'll be a few short speeches, and there'll be some refreshments, and Mike will be signing his book at that event. And basically, it's a real visible landmark. Sitka has a long legacy of scientific discovery and science thinkers, and this is a real first time in about 40 years that building has looked so spiffy. So come on down.
And there are various ways Michael will be engaging with the community. Really briefly, can you tell us what's happening?
Right. Public events, besides the book signing on the 23rd, there'll be a natural history seminar series about frogs. There's going to be a Discovery Days for the young ones on Saturday, October 25th. All these will be posted on our website. He's also working with high school students in Kittiwa Bounty's class to look at the origin of newts on Glenken Island, and Thimbleberry Toads with Kent Bovee's class.
Great. Well, thank you both. We're unfortunately out of time. Thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Melissa.
It's my pleasure.
Been speaking with Tori O'Connell with the Sitka Sound Science Center's SURF program and Dr. Michael Lanoux, the scientist in residence.